My name is Susan Birchfield. I think I've met most of you so far during the week in some place or another, so you know a little bit about my story, that I'm a pastor in Denver now, and that I was a partner pastor with the Lutheran Church in South Africa for a time. Tonight, what I'd like to do is spend some time with you talking about what can I do, because everybody's got that question, and we need to spend some time talking about strategies for action. It can be really depressing and debilitating to see video after video and slide after slide, and you know, and let the suffering of the people of South Africa and Namibia come into you and sort of be in your bones. And then sometimes it can be so depressing that you, like me, might say, what can one person do? Questions like that. Or it is just so great of a problem, there's nothing we can do about it. So it's good for all of us to spend some time talking together and sharing and strategizing for action, because there are lots of things we can do. Now, the session that I have on introducing you to Namibia with stories and slides, unfortunately, isn't until tomorrow night. But we'll be talking about both Namibia and South Africa tonight. Since Namibia is illegally occupied by South Africa, most of what we would say for one is also true of the other for strategies for action. So they fit very nicely together. I really see, we could spend a lot of time looking up wonderful Bible passages which point to a very definite ministry of advocacy that we are all called to in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And what's advocacy? What does it mean to be an advocate?
To speak on behalf of someone.
To speak on behalf of someone, and usually someone who doesn't have a voice, right? And we all know that suffering people from the third world don't have much of a voice in our U.S. Congress. And that usually the people who are heard there are the ones who have the money or the power. So it's certainly a good place for ministers of advocacy to work. Also, I think this kind of work, we might say, I have a friend who always tells me, you're in for the long haul, baby. It's something that people have been working on for justice and freedom to come to Southern Africa for many, 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 many years. Many, 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 many years. We've also got something, we've got a sign on our wall at home that has a saying written in Latin, which goes, how do you say it? Nil caraborum.
Don't let the turkeys get you down.
In Latin, it means outlast the bastards. Illegitimi, nil caraborum illegitimi, or something like that. Don't let the turkeys get you down. I mean, really, we need to hang in there and stay in there working. Before we just get down to some good work, I'd like to read one thing to you that's found in this very fine book called Hope for Faith, A Conversation with Beres Nadia, the man whom some of you saw the video, A Cry for Reason. It's the story of his life. The conversation with Beres Nadia and Dorothy Soley, who is a longtime advocate for peace and a very fine theologian in Germany. This book is a conversation between the two of them, and at the very end, the reporter who is doing the conversation asks them, if you could ask each other one question, what would it be? And here's how they respond. Beres Nadia says, well, the question that I would like to put to you would be this. Do you in yourself have the strength to endure whatever may come to you by way of disappointment, by way of rejection, by way of non-recognition, by way of waiting, perhaps your whole life, without being able to participate in the victory of the truth that you are standing for? Do you believe that you will be able to sustain yourself through these years up to the very end? And Dorothy Soley answers like this. I am thinking of a friend's answer to that when I was in a state of despair and had this sense of meaningless and never reaching anything. And then he talked about the cathedrals that were built during the Middle Ages. Most of them were built over 200 years, and some over 300 years even. And some of the workers in those cathedrals never saw the whole building. They never went to pray there. They never saw the glass and the beautiful things they gave their life for. And then this friend said to me, "Listen, Dorothy, we who are building the Cathedral of Peace, maybe we won't see it either. We will die before it is completed, and yet we are going to build it. We are going on even if we won't live in that building." I think that is true, and in a way it fits with what I wanted to ask you. It is not a real television response, but when you asked that, I just thought of asking you, give me your blessing, my brother. I need it. With that, I would just simply like to jump in and go through some of the things that you have on your chairs when you walked in, and I'd like to start with this piece, Strategies for Action. It's a piece which says Strategies for Action on Namibia. I will add to it as we go along and add to a couple of specific things about South Africa so that it will be good for both. In 1977, the Lutheran World Federation agreed in assembly and made a very important statement. They decided that apartheid would be a matter of status confessionis, which means that in order to confess, to be faithful, and in order to confess our faith in Jesus Christ, to say, "I believe in Jesus Christ," you have to at the same time also work to get rid of apartheid in the world. That because apartheid is so opposed to the gospel and everything that the gospel is about, that it must be that all Christians, all Lutherans, Lutheran World Federation decided, should work to end it. So that's a statement that we have before us from our world body, and it's one that I agree with too. Because although, as I said before, there are many places in the world where there's suffering and torture of children or whatever, South Africa and Namibia is different in one regard, and that's that the perpetrators of all that is going on there, the government, the South African government, and the church that upholds it are doing it in the name of Christ, and in the name of Western democracy, and in the name of Christ. And so it really does make it a different kind of a thing. Things like that go on in lots of countries, in the Soviet Union, in lots of other countries all over the world, there are human rights violations. But most of those other countries, I don't know of one that is doing it in the name of God and is saying that that is how God intends the world to work. So I think it's really a different situation there. Okay, strategies for action on Namibia. There are six strategies here: prayer, education, support for Namibia and South Africa, political advocacy, and economic pressure. Now, usually when you ask someone from Namibia or South Africa, "What can I do?" the first thing they always say is, "Pray for us." And they really, really mean it, you know? And so, praying in your personal meditation and prayer life and bringing prayer for Namibia and South Africa into our public assemblies is a very important thing to do. Now, there are lots of special days in Namibia and South Africa that you can plan special education and worship events around. There are some listed there from Namibia. Kasinga Massacre, May 4th, 1978. That's the day when the South African army went over the border into Angola and attacked a Namibian refugee camp, killing over between 600 and 700 people, mostly women and children. So it is a day that from now on, for example, the Evangelical Church in America will mark the first Sunday in May every year, Namibia Sunday, Free Namibia Sunday. It's already been decided this year and every year that follows until Namibia is free. So that will be a wonderful time to plan, you know, special things at your church around that date. Then there are a couple of others there, Namibia Women's Day and Namibia Day. Now, in South Africa, a couple of the very special dates that you might, this is how you can update your peace and make it be true for South Africa as well, the Soweto Massacre, June 16th. It occurred in 1976 when children in Soweto, the big black township, biggest black township in South Africa, were demonstrating they were boycotting classes. They wanted to learn in English instead of Afrikaans, the language of the oppressor. And over 600 children were killed on June 16th and a couple of the days that followed. So that is probably the most important day in South Africa that people mark and remember and have special prayer services around. Then another one that's really important is Women's Day in South Africa is August 9th. And commemorates the day, August 9th, 1954, when, 20,000 women, I believe it was, gathered in Pretoria in the capital and marched at the government building protesting the past laws being extended to women. So that's a day that women rally around in South Africa. Perhaps I'd like to pause at some points along the way at each part of this, and perhaps some of you have done some special kinds of services at your church or have some ideas that you have done or some questions or some ideas that you'd like to share. Yeah.
I have a question. I'd like to know when South Africa went into Namibia, because I'm kind of ignorant on the whole subject, and I'd like to know what reason they have to have the right to be there. They have some, what they say is their right or something.
Yeah.
I'd like to get educated on it, really, because I...
Right. I planted him up there. Come tomorrow night at 5:50.
Okay.
And you'll learn the history of Namibia and South Africa.
Okay.
I could say just 30 seconds about it. South Africa, after World War One, was granted by the League of Nations the mandate to care for the people of Namibia and to bring them to their freedom as soon as possible. Like all of the German colonies were given around to different nations, they moved instead to sort of annex Namibia and have refused to get out ever since. So it's been a long time that they've been there. I don't know, what have you all been doing in your churches around? Did any of you celebrate Namibia Day this year, the first Sunday in May, have some special prayers at your churches? Lutherans have a special relationship with Namibia, since Namibia is about 60% Lutheran, so there are a lot of Lutherans that know about Namibia and have been. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was looking at the strategy number 4, political advocacy, and number A on the third page. Letter A says, number 2 says, urge the removal of any precondition that links Cuban withdrawal from Angola with the implementation of UNSC Resolution 435. And again, this is kind of an information thing. I'm
sure.
Not clear as to now, why is it the Cubans are in Angola?
Okay. Can I just ask you to hang on to that one until we get to that section?
Okay.
And then we can spend some time on that. Okay. Well, education, that's what we're doing right now. And I think that part of being a minister of advocacy and being a faithful Christian in the world today and being a responsible person is, even in order to know how to pray, in fact, you need to keep abreast of what's going on, right? And in fact, one of the things about prayer, when you pray for people of the third world or when you pray for anyone else, not only is that good for those folks, but I think if you're anything like me, I mean, I'm the one that gets surprised when I pray, and prayer changes me. I mean, you know, if you bring prayer, if you bring Namibia and South Africa into the prayer of your congregation and into your own prayer and study life, then God's going to keep those people on your heart, you know, and before you know it, you might turn into somebody crazy like me. It's dangerous. But education, especially because there is almost total press censorship in South Africa now, South Africa and Namibia. The news we get here is few and far between, and anything that comes out of South Africa now must have the okay of the government first, unless it's been snuck out. So any press release, in fact, any like AP wire service or any kind of those official press releases, you know that they have been okayed first by the South African government. Now, it doesn't mean that necessarily that what they're saying is not true, but you need to also look for what they're not saying, because more than likely somebody has taken, you know, their pen and crossed out a lot of things that they don't want you to say. For instance, right now it is against the law in South Africa for a person of the press or a photographer to be within sight of an unrest situation. If you are there and something happens in front of you, you're supposed to take yourself away somewhere else. You are not supposed to be anywhere around, because the government wants us to believe that the press are the ones who are stirring up things and making the problems in the townships. So, but in actuality, I think it's what we've been talking about a lot this week, wanting to keep the darkness there and not wanting it to come to light. So how do you find out? You know, what are good ways to find out what's going on there? And what are good ways to find out, you know, about what we can do here? There are several things listed there that stand both for Namibia and South Africa. There are a lot of good organizations now around who publish newsletters. On this sheet, sources of information, there's a listing of just some of the organizations that are very responsible and that might even have a regional office in your area. For instance, number 8, American Friends Service Committee. AFSC has a branch office in Seattle. You know, so if you're anywhere in that area, they're a good source of films and videos and all kinds of books and information. I happen to work for National Namibia Concerns, number 1. We have, and this particular sheet will tell you all the videos and films that we have available as a lending library from our office at a very nominal rental fee for congregations and parishes. And as you all who have watched the videos this week probably will attest to, there's just nothing like actually seeing that stuff. You know, it really, you see the images and it really can grip you and move you. And some of these films, as we've been finding out, have been filmed at great risk to the people. Some of them have lost their lives because they're trying to tell the story. There are other newsletters that are, some of these other organizations have newsletters that are real reliable. One that I want to draw special attention to down there in number 5 is Washington Office on Africa. They're an ecumenical group working on behalf of us in Washington, D.C., with partial funding by the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America and a lot of other denominations. And they're there doing the hard, tough work in Washington, D.C. on behalf of all of us. They're actually doing lobbying, and they're doing lots of good research and putting out lots of good information and action alerts to keep us all abreast on what's going on. So they're a wonderful organization, and they have a hotline too that you can call, which I believe, yeah, it's listed in here, number 12, and they have a pre-recorded number, like right now when sanctions is a hot number on the agenda of Washington, D.C., and you want to know whether it's been voted on or what process it's in, you can call the Africa Hotline, and they will say, this is the Africa Hotline, a service of Washington Office on Africa, funded by, guess who, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America funds the Africa Hotline. And you can get an update by calling that number. So there's lots of help for just keeping abreast on what's going on. The newsletter, I apologize for the staples here. They're all stapled shut. My printer got a little overzealous with the staples. Namibia Concerns publishes a quarterly newsletter that has a combination of news of what's going on, action alerts. It will inform you of new resources that are available, new books, new videos, new films, that kind of thing. So, and some of it, although it's focused on Namibia, there are lots of things that also, of course, have to do with South Africa. For instance, if you open this one up, you'll see an action alert that we'll refer to later that's on the third page that tells you all about sanctions and gives you the correct numbers and gives you some quotes by different people about what they think about it and that kind of thing.
Could I ask a question?
Sure.
I listened to a good part of a Republican platform.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And one portion was on sanctions, and they came out with complete opposition to sanctions, saying that the blacks don't want it. They say it hurt them. I mean, the same old thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I suspect that that's probably being adopted as a part of the Republican strategy to oppose it. So I'm just wondering how we just need to be aware of that, I think.
Yeah, thank you. And we will probably spend most of our time, I'll try to sort of rush through the basics here, and we'll, I imagine that's where most of you have a lot of questions. And we'll spend lots of time doing some discussion about sanctions towards the end of our time. Strategy number, so it's just, you know, it's just the good basic education stuff. You need to keep informed. I think probably the churches in Namibia and South Africa, communicating information to our churches here, it's still one of the best sources of education. If you, those of you who are Lutheran, the last issue of the new Lutheran, the magazine, had quite a lot of stuff in it about Namibia and South Africa, and they're doing a pretty good job of keeping it in the news and keeping us abreast on what's going on. Support for Namibia and South Africa, strategy number three. Lots of people want to get right in there and do something directly, not only politically here, like we're going to get to later, but actually some direct support for the people in Namibia and South Africa and for the churches. So what can you do there? There's kind of two parts to that. Solidarity. All summer long, Holden has been conducting a wonderful campaign for writing letters specifically for Lutheran pastor Molefe Tsele, who you've probably heard about, who's been detained for over a year and a half in South Africa. Now, there's lots of people, there's thousands of political detainees in South Africa and Namibia. Their families need our, you know, they need letters from us saying, we know that Molefe is detained, we're praying for him, we're writing letters demanding his release. We're praying for courage and hope for you. We want you to know that everybody in the United States hasn't forgotten you, you know, that kind of thing. And also you can write letters directly to the detainees. In Namibia, you can send those letters. You can say, like, to Jason Angula, who's a detainee. You can write a letter to the family of Jason Angula. And you should send all those letters together if you're interested in doing something like that, to the address here that says Dr. Abisai Sheyavali, Council of Churches in Namibia. And the Council of Churches will see that those letters get to the families and get delivered to the prisons. In South Africa, I've written an address up here. SACC stands for South Africa Council of Churches. So that's the address there that you would write to for a lot of things. And one of them would be this kind of thing. And the General Secretary there is Frank Chikani. So there's an address for you for South Africa. And in Namibia, especially, letters of hope and solidarity are, it's amazing. We saw books of them there when we were there. They translate them and they send them all over the country and they read them in the congregations and they become great sources of hope. Material aid, part B. There are lots of things that you can actually get going. Sometimes to get your congregation going, it's nice to rally around a project, a letter writing project, or a project to, for instance, collect English speaking books to send to a library there, or something like that. There's a lot of different projects you can raise money for. A big one going in the Lutheran Church now is bringing college students from Namibia here to study. Edmund was here for a lot of the summer, and just went back yesterday studying at Wittenberg College in Ohio. And there will be 70 students this year who are brought over through this program that's about 3 years old now and are studying around the country. That's something that needs a lot of money raising done. There are some suggestions there to get in contact to if that's the kind of project that you'd like to do. And sometimes when you do a project like that, then you can learn about the country at the same time you're, you know, working on a tangible project. The women of the ELCA.
Our foundation is sponsoring the Namibian students at Warburg College.
Great.
To pay his room and board for 4 years.
Wow.
And it's, well, he's been here 1 year. But then vacations and things.
You can't hear.
She said that her congregation is sponsoring one of the Namibian students at Waverly at Warburg College, paying tuition and
room and board.
Paying room and board, and then you have to help out with places during the summer for vacations, right? Have host families.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
And having them there home for over vacations. So.
Yeah. That's great.
Do they have, these students that come over, do they have to go through a lot of obstacles through the government to get over here?
Yeah, some of them have a hard time getting visas. They're chosen by the church, the two Lutheran denominations in Namibia. There's a long line of students in line to get the opportunity to study because there's no college in Namibia. So, and then they're chosen, and then they go through the process of trying to get their travel documents and visas and everything, and some don't make it. Some are not allowed out. But part of the work that our church does is to have somebody just working on that, working on getting their visas in order and working to make sure that there's no problems with that when they're here in the country.
The best thing would be if we could build a college there.
Yeah, yeah.
And support it.
Yeah. So there's just a whole wealth of different kinds of projects that one can do in your congregation or yourself. Political advocacy and economic pressure are kind of going hand in hand these days, because maybe we'll jump back to economic pressure, strategy number 5. There are 3 parts listed there: sanctions, which are explained briefly, divestment, which in the Lutheran Church we have voted, depending on what predecessor church body you come from, you may have voted as a whole church to divest as much as 11 or 12 years ago now, and we are still not divested. It's an ongoing discussion in the church. It's an ongoing struggle that the church is wrestling with. We can talk about divestment when we get to the discussion time. Then boycotts. There's a shell boycott that's starting to get some international recognition and being recognized in the United States, but there isn't a big boycott going right now like the Nestle boycott that's really well organized. But the women of the ELCA, of the Lutheran Church body, are in the process of organizing. I want to tell you about it now so you can watch for it when it comes. They're in the process of organizing a boycott of the Upjohn Company, who manufactures Depo-Provera, which is a contraceptive that Upjohn manufactures, but it has not been okayed to sell in the United States. They won't let it be the Food and Drug Administration won't let it be sold here because it's too dangerous, but they sell it to other countries. Namibia is one of the countries that it is sold and dispersed in. They give it to people without their knowledge, and there are a whole long list of documented cases where even 13-year-old girls have been made sterile because of the use of Depo-Provera. It's a very dangerous drug. So the women are in the process of organizing information to have to possibly take up a national boycott of the Upjohn Company. So you can watch for that one. Turn back now to political advocacy. Okay, here you've got, through this section, you've got all the addresses you need to write to senators, representatives, the president, the secretary of state, and also you have listed telephone numbers and the members, at least for the rest of this year, on the Foreign Affairs Subcommittee on Africa of the House of Representatives and the Senate Foreign Relations Committee Subcommittee on Africa. So those are key people there. Now, what are the issues? Well, You know, you can write just general letters to any of these people, or telephone calls, just telling them how you feel about South Africa, you know, and saying that you hope that our country will not be an ally with South Africa, and that you don't think, you know, if this is your viewpoint, that you don't think that that apartheid can be reformed and that it shouldn't change slowly, but that we need an end to it, or whatever, you know, whatever kind of a general letter like that you would like to write. You can, then there are very specific issues that come up from time to time of bills that are being considered in Washington, D.C. Currently, the one that is right now being considered is a sanctions bill. Then there are a whole list of other ones that National Liberty Concerns that have to do with the whole region of South Africa, providing developmental money for the region, and a whole host of different kinds of things. I want to read to you a couple of letters that were written today by the miners. That's the 9 to 12 year olds.
No, 13 to 18.
The Lions, the 9 to 12 year olds. Thank you. The Lions. They wouldn't have liked that. That's right. Okay. Dear Honorable President Botha, I am writing to you about the violence in South Africa. People are dying and being killed when you are in luxury of a mansion. Please do something. Children are depending on you. Love, Carl Jacobson. P.S. Please don't be offended. To P.W. Botha, I think it's horrible that you are destroying a country. Why don't you change your ways? The world should be free. From Emily. Dear Botha, President of South Africa, please change your ways and give blacks more rights before another government, parentheses, not necessarily ours, parentheses, takes action against you. No one wants that. Signed, Michael Pellauer. Dear P.W. Botha, I regret to inform you that the blacks were in South Africa first. Therefore, they have a right of governmental position. P.S. You're a scuzz bucket. Sincerely yours. Shall I read who wrote this? I don't know. Daniel Meyer. I love it. I think it's great.
Just like the Indians were here first.
Right. Dear, then there are, I'll read one of the several that they wrote to Reverend Malefi Tsele in prison and to his family. This, I'll just read one of them. Dear Reverend Malefi Tsele, we have heard about many of the problems that your country is going through. My name is Sonia Sivisand, and I am at Holden Village. I am 11 years old. We are learning a lot. It is very sad the way the government does things. We are praying for you and your family, and we hope that you keep believing that you will get out of jail. Sincerely, Sonia. So if the kids can do it, we can do it, huh? Okay. I have... I would love to spend a lot of time talking about sanctions and about divestment, because those are really issues that are given to us to consider right now, or any other thing that you'd like to ask or talk about that has to do with what we're doing in this session, the strategies for action. And I'd like to, let's see, when we mentioned, I should point out a few things that are here. I brought a few books, and I will just leave them here for the evening, and you can look at some of this. Just lots and lots of books available. There are quite a few books in the bookstore. Would you, Mom, would you lift up that one, Born of the Sun? There's a brand new, the very first Namibian novel written by a Namibian, a work of fiction that I have read and that is just fantastic. It's just been published this June. I highly recommend it. They've ordered it, but it hasn't come to Holden. You can, it'll tell you in our newsletter how you can write and get it from our office. It's great. And there are lots of other, there's quite a few novels in the bookstore here about South Africa. Sometimes I think reading a novel or reading poetry can move you and get you into the situation even better than a whole long list of atrocities or history or whatever. Novels are great things. Just, I mean, they're similar to watching a video sometimes.
How much does that real good, thick, fat novel cost?
$7 postpaid. If you send $7 to National Namibia Concerns, we'll send you a book.
What's the name of it?
It's listed in this newsletter, so you can see it there.
So I was going to say, how can you get on the Namibia Concerns newsletter list?
You can fill out one of these little cards and we'll just add your name. I neglected to make a list. If someone happens to have an extra piece of paper, I didn't have the foresight to do that and send it around. And if you sign your name and your address, I'll be happy to add you to the list. Yeah.
Could you comment on the boycott of essays?
Would I?
What has happened? You kind of indicated it.
Oh, I said there isn't anything going that's as well planned and as...
I knew about the boycott of essays, the formula that they sent out to third world countries. Now, is there an additional one now in connection with South Africa?
Not by the same people, but they're moving to boycott General Electric right now. You may have already heard that or may be hearing about it. But I don't know of any really well-organized boycotts in the United States that have to do with South Africa and Namibia, but I was just telling you to look for this one with the Upjohn Company, that the Lutheran Church may really take that one on in a big way.
What's the reason for that again?
Because they manufacture Dipro-Provera, a contraceptive that can't be sold here, but it's causing a lot of Namibian young women to be sterile. Would you hold up Torch in the Night there? This is an example. There's a lot of books now for Namibia and South Africa, like Torch in the Night, and they did have it here, I guess, last week, but it was sold out. And Why, O Lord, that will give you worship resources, litanies, prayers, that kind of thing that will help you in your parish for worship resources. Then there are just lots of books that are informative. If you hold up Apartheid is a Heresy there, that is in the bookstore. It gives some of the history of how apartheid grew in the church in South Africa. And it'll give you, it's by several different authors, it will give you a look into some of the biblical texts that are used to uphold it and some of terrible and interesting stories about how that is done. Anyway, there's lots of books here you can look at later. And another thing I wanted to call your attention to before we get off on discussing is, I didn't have enough of these to pass out to everyone, but I have a stack up here of questions and answers on sanctions, which is a really good resource if you're particularly interested in that. You can pick one up afterwards. And I also have a stack of papers about Malefi, Sele, and where to write to his family and where to write to him, and where to write about protesting his arrest. Sojourners, this last issue of Sojourners is all on South Africa. There are lots of magazines like Sojourners that are also good sources of information. They sometimes have big feature articles, and sometimes in their news section they will just, you know, give you good spots of news. Okay, let's just throw it open for the rest of the time. I'm going to have to leave at because I'm also doing the service tonight with all the kids on South Africa. Vespers is going to be tonight. But Red will be here after I run out the door, so we won't have to stop the conversation then. Okay, question? Yeah.
I was just going to ask, now we write letters or something, is there any danger that it's going to go against them?
Good question. The question was, can letters that we write here be dangerous to people there? Okay. In fact, well, if you happen to know none of us here, well, maybe Red and I, but none of the rest of you probably know enough about specific things to ask that they would be dangerous. Like if I wrote, there are a lot of things that I can't write or say on the phone that Red and I, you know, if we want to find out if some of our friends who are underground and having to operate underground, if we want to know whether they're still safe or whether they've been arrested, I can't write to one of my friends in Cape Town and ask if June Issa is still, if she's been arrested or not, or if she's safe, because if that letter was read or that phone call was listened to, then the police might come to that person's door and say, we have reason to think you know where June Issa is. But the letters that you guys are going to be writing are about political prisoners who are already in prison. And actually, those kind of letters work to save people's lives, okay? They have, there's lots of instances where, for instance, if you write on behalf of a political prisoner in Namibia, and you say, in your letter, sort of knowing that it might be read, you might even say, besides saying we're praying for you, we're demanding your release with the government, and you might also say, and we're watching what happens to you. And there are lots of us watching what happens to you. And we know about your being in prison, and we will, you know, we are going to watch to make sure nothing happens to you. And those kind of letters can actually save people's lives. They're not dangerous, so don't worry about that. In fact, it works in reverse. They can actually save lives. Uh-huh.
South Africa is the subject for a mission study for any churches that are following the study of the National Council of Churches.
That's right.
And Friendship Press and so on has material. And Presbyterian, Methodist, many of the other churches, I'd like to see us do some things ecumenically. Maybe some church in your town has already gone off to School of Missions and stuff. There's an ecumenical School of Missions, there's Methodist ones and others, and you might find some other people in your community that are doing the same thing, and you might do some studying together, this education thing together.
Excellent.
I'd like to see us do some of that.
Excellent. Find the people in your community who are either in or out of the church, you know. I mean, they don't have to be church folks even. To study together, because sometimes, you know how that goes, it's lonely being out there. Out being maybe the only one in your congregation who's concerned about an issue or something like that. So, yeah, find out, get together with other churches as separate congregations or as synods or whatever, and work that way. Hold up the, do you have a book underneath that Namibian newsletter?
No.
Oh, this one, Until We Are Free, right here. This is the National Council of Churches study that was published just this year for an adult study. It's a wonderful study, and it goes with the book, here, South Africa Moment of Truth. And also, right in front of you, it says Worldview. That's a youth. This is a resource for doing things with youth that's put out by the National Council of Churches. They've done a great job this year getting new resources. Thank you. Done. Yeah. Get together with other folks and do it. That's really important.
Can I mention something about divestment?
Yes.
I'm not sure how it works down in the States here, but I belong to a writers' union. And 2 years ago, we investigated where the pension funds were going, being invested from our writers' union, and discovered that a good portion of it was being invested in South Africa. So a large portion of the writers, large number of the writers, decided that we wanted to remove our pension funds from that kind of investment, and we moved it into what is called an ethical investment organization, mm-hmm. which not only does not deal with South Africa, but also does not deal with arms or war mongering or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that people can do if they want to invest in an ethical, and there are several that are springing up because they're finding that people are interested in putting their money into ethical funds, and also to check your pension funds and where your money is going, because it's very subtle. Sometimes the things you have to dig a little bit to find it,
mm-hmm.
but it's worthwhile, I think.
Thank you. Yeah, and there are many states now in the United States and colleges, and I imagine the same in Canada, who have divested and who have even made money divesting. And there's lots of studies now, lots of alternative portfolios that are available for investors. Our Most of us in this room are probably Lutherans from the ELCA. And presently, divestment, the Board of Pensions again met in June. This is reported in the last Lutheran. And going into that meeting, they had a very strong resolution from many synods, about, I think, 12 or 13 synods around the country. And they had a very strong resolution from our National Church Council and from several of the national divisions, calling for them to divest from all funds, old and new funds, that have anything to do with South Africa. They chose, however, once again, to not put into action a policy that would, a proactive policy that would get us out of those investments. The policy now is, if we come upon two investments of equal risk, the Board of Pensions will choose to invest in the one that is not doing business in South Africa. That's how far we've gotten. But there is no strategy for getting somebody out there and working and trying to find some alternative things to invest in, or for just getting rid of everything. So we haven't got a strategy for divestment nationally in the ELCA. I think that's appalling to me. I don't personally want my pension funds invested in companies that do business in South Africa. So that's where we are as an ELCA, and I'm not sure where other synods are at this point in time.
You tell us about that in the here. Mm-hmm. And then I was real proud when I get this email that Luther College held a Namibian concern summit today.
Yeah.
In April.
Susan, but one of the choices for our pension fund is the socially responsible portfolio. I forget what it's called.
Yes.
And my understanding then is that none of the funds from that will be invested with countries that would do business.
That's true. We have a
Tom Wick.
Oh, Tom, okay.
Yeah, just to clarify, that's not a socially responsible fund. It's called a social purpose fund.
Okay.
And the idea behind that is that, first of all of the church's pension funds should have some ethical investment criteria, so that the church doesn't have socially responsible and socially irresponsible funds, but all of them are socially responsible. The social purpose fund has what they call some positive screens, whereas maybe the other funds would have negative screens, meaning they wouldn't invest in South Africa. Some other positive screens would mean it would be invested positively in some community economic development, some things like that. So it is being used in that way by the pension board. It's very disturbing that they're using the social purpose funds as an escape valve to not do what they've been told to do by the church, which is divest their funds.
And that's not for contributions that were before the new church merger. The new church, we cannot transfer our own account.
Right.
And those are still locked into other things, which are divestment.
That's right.
I have a concern on another matter.
Yeah.
Another good resource, and then I have a question, is Amnesty International, their urgent action alert. I don't understand why they're not on the sheet. Netherland, Colorado is where you can just write them or call them and just say, I would want any urgent action in South Africa or Namibia, and they'll send them, and it's probably one of the quickest ways of getting
that
very
true.
Helpful how to submit.
Do you have that address in your head?
I don't have the P.O. box, but Netherland is so small that it's
right.
Okay. It's just Amnesty International, or AI, Netherland, Colorado. And I don't know the zip code, but I have it up in my office. So urgent action.
Thank you.
And you don't have to be a member of Amnesty International. They will send you whatever you want with or without. Now, my question relating to that is I get those, I get some other action alerts, you know, from other groups. How organized, you know, are they together? Some, you know, you get quicker, some you get later, some are the same people, some are different people. Do you know how all that's filtered?
They're not organized.
It's just kind of hit and miss, yeah. Some organizations will pick up names from someplace, some from another. When there's an urgent person, when there's somebody like when Farisani was last imprisoned, and we made a big effort at the national level, all anti-apartheid organizations and Amnesty International together did a big campaign to get letters for Farisani, and 26,000 letters were written during the couple of months that he was in detention last time to the U.S. State Department demanding his release. One out of every five letters that came or phone calls that came to the State Department on any issue, on any country during that time, were on Farisani, and that certainly helped to save his life. So it's definitely something that if we work together, we can really make a difference.
I think there were over 200,000 letters on Farisani's behalf in South Africa.
Yeah, he had literally, you know, rooms full of letters that were waiting for him, that came to his house. Yeah.
Read that book.
Yeah. I don't know if this one's in the bookstore. I didn't see it. Perhaps it was all sold out. This is the story that he tells about his detention. And he has a new book coming out soon, too. Well, I have to leave soon, and I want to get in my two bits about sanctions before I have to go. Sanctions, the current bill that has now been voted through the House of Representatives finally just last week, has passed through the House of Representatives and is very strong, and it passed through without weakening amendments and is the version of the bill that you'll find here. And we're really excited because it's a strong bill and it's going to close a lot of loopholes and make it really tough for South Africa to make it financially from the United States point of view. Now, next it goes to the Senate. One of the things I'll leave up here that you can check with, we have a list of who are the swing votes, who are the possible co-sponsors in the Senate, and so forth and so on. It's going to go on to the Senate now. During September, the Senate will be considering it. So it's very important. It'll probably have a harder row in the Senate, at least for a couple of reasons. Jesse Helms has already said he will lead a filibuster against it. So one of the things you can write to your senators, even if it's a senator that you know will never vote for it in 1,000 years, you can ask that senator to please don't agree with having a filibuster, but at least let it come to the floor for debate and vote to the Senate, okay? Then without delays is the other thing, because there's not much time left before in this session before the Senate will adjourn for elections, you know, for fall elections and campaigns. So we really need everyone to write letters and make phone calls asking senators to become co-sponsors and stuff like that. The bill itself you can read about there. Now, probably the most well-known argument against sanctions is what? We can all say it by heart. Sanctions will only hurt the ones we most want to help, right? You've heard that. Ad nauseum, right? Well, it's funny that argument was first begun by the government of South Africa and by corporations who have businesses in South, you know, who have something to lose. You can find people. Jerry Falwell can go to South Africa and find a person who is black and put a microphone to them and find people who will say, we're against sanctions. It is possible. There are people that are against sanctions. But by large, the far majority of black people that Red and I met, and of all of the church leaders, almost without exception, are for sanctions. They will say things like, Bishop Tutu tells the story, okay, is it going to hurt us? It might hurt some people, yeah. But if you have a tree and you shake the tree and some people are already on the ground and some people are up in the branches, who is going to get hurt the most when the fallout comes? The people that are up in the branches or the people that are on the ground already, you know? Whites are the people that are going to get hurt most about sanctions. Blacks say, yeah, you know, we probably are going to have to suffer more with sanctions, but we want our freedom, and we want that far more than we want to have less, you know, we know how to suffer. Chinawani Farasani always says, you know, it's offensive to me to tell, for somebody to tell me that they don't think I should suffer. He says, I know how to suffer. I'll choose my own suffering, thank you. You know, and a person like, there is help for you here in this newsletter again, and in other places. There are quotes from church leaders. There's a, on this page, there's a statement from the Council of Churches in Namibia, which represents about 75% of the people of Namibia, calling for sanctions right here. On the next page, on page 5, there's an article written by Kapi Muyoro, who studied at Warford Seminary in Dubuque. He came risking his life to testify for sanctions this March in Washington, D.C. This is one of the things that he said during his testimony. We Namibians are demanding comprehensive economic sanctions against South Africa. We are prepared to pay for our freedom and independence with hunger. In a nutshell, we are dying already. It would be better to die knowing that apartheid is being removed rather than go on for years and years dying for nothing. You know, so when you write your letters, you can quote those kind of people and you can say, this argument is a bunch of bunk. You know, it really is. I have to run. Red, would you please take over? I think it's wonderful that there are so many people here concerned and wanting to know what they can do. And we'll, both of us will be happy to carry on conversations and questions with any of you who are around. We'll be here through next Wednesday. Thanks very much.